Praise God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Continuing on the same line of thought that we've been going for the past several weeks, and I know I've been gone for a couple weeks this month, and different things going on, but we've talked about what are you looking at, what do you see, what are you thinking about, what else we say, what are you saying, and anyway, whatever the other ones were. Today we're going to look at what are you listening to, what are you listening to. And it's very important what we listen to in our lives. Mark chapter 6, and let's begin at verse 13. Let me get this straight again. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Now let me just give you a little bit of background there. Jesus told a story. A parable is a story. Jesus told a story about a sower that went out and he took the seed and he was throwing the seed as he was going. And the Bible says some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground, hard ground, different things. And four different grounds that are mentioned. And each one of those grounds represent our hearts, how we receive the word of God. And so after he finished, the disciples had enough, you know, lightning quick brains to understand he wasn't talking about farming. So they said, "What do you mean by that?" And then he went to explain to them what that parable meant. And this is what we're going to look at here right now. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" The sower, or the farmer, we would say, the one that's sowing the seed, the sower sows the word. He said, this is what it means. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time, and afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are those that are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set upon a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. We'll look at that in a minute. Now let's bow together in prayer and ask God's direction. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the word of God this morning. Thank you for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. We've already sensed your presence here in a very special way this morning. We just ask, Lord, as we look into the word of God right now, that you would guide us and direct us, Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when you come, you would lead us into all truth, direct us into all truth. So Father, right now, as we look into the word of God, may we see the truth of it, and may we put it into practice in our lives. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Jesus told a story here, as I said, about the parable of the sower. And he talked about four different kinds of soil, all representing four different kinds of people or four different kinds of hearts that would receive the word of God. And notice down through each one, as Jesus explained, because the disciples came to him and asked him what he meant by it all. And as he went down through every single one of them, he said, these are those that hear the word. These are those that hear this and hear it. You know, and four times he mentioned, these are those that hear. And he said to him, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand the rest of them? In other words, if you understand the truth behind this one, the others will fall into place. But this is a very important parable. And he's saying here, down in verse 24, take heed how or what you hear. Mark says what? Over in Luke's gospel, I think it was Luke said, take heed how you hear. And it's very important how we hear things and how we receive the word of God. And there's a lot of truth in that. We're going to look at some of the things here this morning. But we're living in a society where everywhere you look, there's things that are trying to get into your mind. I mean, you open up a magazine, there's all kinds of advertisements in there. You listen to the television, there's all kinds of TV advertisements. There's radio advertisements. You drive along the highway to get billboards up. Everybody's trying to get your attention for something. And, you know, as I said, the radio and TV is blaring all the time. Even when you go on the internet, sometimes you go and look at a bit of news on the internet, and first of all, they got to show you some kind of an advertisement about something, a car or whatever the case might be. So there's always people trying to get into your mind, to bring things into your mind. And Jesus warned us, he said, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you listen to. And as I said, we've called this today, what are you listening to? Here's a little statistic. According to the Council of Research Excellence, the average person is exposed to 61 minutes of TV ads and promotions every day. That's an hour every day just listening to advertisements. And the same person is exposed to some form of digital screen, whether it's TV, GPS, cell phones, computers, whatever the case might be, for 8.5 hours a day. Now, some people more than that. If you work at a computer all day long, you're looking at these things over and over. Now, but you see, these things are entering into our minds all the time and entering into our subconsciousness. And Jesus is telling us, be careful what you hear. In other words, we could say today, be careful what you're listening to. And you know as well as I do that whatever you listen to eventually is going to form some kind of a pattern in your life. Advertisements. Sometimes we look at, you know, if you look at the hockey games, the football games, things like this, they pay multiple millions of dollars just to get on there sometimes to advertise their product because they know the audience is going to be looking. They did a study years ago at an outdoor theater, you know, like a drive-in theater. And every, I don't know how many frames was now per second that would go through on a, you know, normal projection screen. But every so often, every 21st slide or whatever, they would put in a picture of French fries and Coke. And they said it was, you couldn't see it with the natural eye as you're looking because it went through so fast you never saw it, but your subconscious picks it up. And they said at the theater thing, they put this movie on or whatever you're looking at, and every 21st slide or whatever, I don't know if I had the right number, but every certain particular slide, every time that would go past, they would wait a certain time in the movie to put that in there for a 5-minute segment, and this would go through every, you know, on the slide. And they said people would get out of their cars and run to the cafeteria there to buy their Coke and French fries, you know. And because your subconscious picks things up. And this is why Jesus knew how things work. He's the one who created us. He said, be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you're listening to. I was looking up on the internet the week, actually, just to see how much was spent in advertising in 1 year. In the United States, I think it was $83 billion a year that's spent on advertising. Here's something else you have to think about. $10 billion of that is spent on advertising alcohol. $10 billion a year. Now, $10 billion don't seem, you know, like it's just a big number. You know? If you took $1,000 a day, it's something like 27 million days. It's something like you could take that out. I may have that wrong. Is that 20? Anyway, something here is 27 million. Something that you could go. I know it was, if you spent a. I had it all figured out, and I should have wrote it down. I thought that'd be too long to get through, and I figured I wouldn't get into it. Now here I'm trying to get into it. But anyway, there was a certain amount of you would spend. It would take you 780 years just to spend it, for one person to spend it. That's how much is spent every year in alcohol advertising in the United States. No wonder, you know, and then they say, I wonder what's going on with our society. You know, it's whatever you feed. They say, like at McDonald's, for instance, they come out and they advertise a new product. While they're advertising, that new product is being sold like crazy. You know, stores know that, and that's why they spend so much in advertising. I could get into more stuff there, but I won't right now. Anyway, so it's important to understand that what we feed in is going to make an impact on our lives. As I told you the story a while ago about this old Indian, and I was reading again this week, and somebody else told a story, and they told it a little bit different, but probably the same principle behind it. Anyway, this old Cherokee Indian was trying to tell his grandson about life, trying to explain to him about life. And he said, "A fight is going on inside of me," he said to the young fellow. He said, "It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He's anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, self-doubt, superiority, and ego." And he said, "The other wolf is good. He is joy and peace and love and hope and serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." And he said to the young fellow, he said, "This same fight is going on inside of you and inside of everyone else." His grandson looked up, he said, "Grandpa," he said, "who wins the fight?" He said, "Which wolf wins?" And he said, "The wolf that you're feeding, that's the one who's going to win." So if you're feeding yourself all the time with resentment and anger and mad at people all the time and grumbling, complaining, and every time something goes wrong, you're blaming on someone else, you're feeding the wrong wolf. You're going to end up with a very difficult life. You need to feed the wolf that's good and kind and peaceful and generosity and all these different things. So we need to understand that. So Jesus said, "Take heed how you hear," or what you hear, as it says here in Mark's gospel. Now, Jesus went on to say, he says, "For with the measure that you measure," or "with the measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again." Now, what does that mean? And I look it up in four or five different commentaries a week, more than that, probably a dozen commentaries a week, just trying to get some understanding. You got a rough understanding of what it means. But what it's saying, Jesus is saying, as you hear the word of God, because remember he said the sower sows the word. As you hear the word of God, the more that you hear it and put it into practice, more will be given to you. But if you hear it and it just goes over top of your head, there's no point in telling you anything else about it. You understand that? Like if you're trying to train someone to do something and you say, "Now listen, the very foundational thing," say you're trying to train a fellow to play hockey, and you say, "The very foundational thing, you've got to learn how to skate." Well, there's no point in talking about anything else until he learns how to skate. You understand that? You can't get in the NHL wearing a pair of sneakers on the ice. You know, you've got to learn how to skate. That's the foundational one. So a lot of times people, we want all the big revelation from God, but God says, no, start out with the small ones first. Once you do that, more will be given to you. Whatever measure you meet, it will be measured to you again. Whatever you use, God will replenish. You understand that? So, you know, when we're learning from God's word and receiving God's word, you hear people preaching. You hear myself preaching here this morning, or somebody else preaching, or a radio program, or whatever. You hear somebody preaching. If you don't take that and put it into your heart and practice it, you know, this is why a lot of people would come to church. And I've noticed this over the years, and I'm sure we all have. I preach sometimes, and I'm just talking from my own experience now, but other pastors will tell you the same thing. We preach sometimes, and you go out through the door, and somebody come along and say, "Pastor, that was wonderful. That was exactly what I needed to hear. That was good. I thank you for that." You know, and they're all excited about it. Somebody else will go out and say, I never understood a thing you said this morning. You know, now it's the same words that are going out. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus sowed the same word everywhere, but it's the different types of soil that received it. I was listening to a fellow preach a while ago. And he was talking about when he was in, I don't know, grade 8 or something. He said that in their school, he said that their teacher brought in those geraniums, not geraniums, what do you call these things you put the plants in? Glass. Gerarium, there you go. Maybe he planted a geranium, I don't know. Anyway, he planted something in there, he said, and he said in this, they brought in one, and he said he put a little bit of, the teacher brought in two of them, he put about an inch of soil in one, And then the other one, he said, they put in, you know, quite a bit of soil, 8 or 10 inches of soil. And he said, they planted a tomato plant. And he said, the tomato plants, he said, in the one with the soil, he said, about an inch deep. He said, within a matter of a day or so, he said, that popped through the soil, he said, and started to grow. And he said, the other one wasn't even showing in the deep soil. And he said, you know, they look at it, and he said, it was probably a week or so, he said, before this even broke through the soil over here in the deep soil. But the other one, he said, was growing up quick. He said, you could almost see it grow every day. He said, but in a matter of a couple of weeks, he said, this will start to turn white, the one that grew fast. Start to white, he said, turn white, and finally shriveled over and died. Now, the reason for it is because there's no soil. There's no depth in the soil. But he said, the one that took a long time to grow, it spent most of his time getting his root system set in first. And then as it started to grow, and he said, by the end of the year, he said, as you're growing the tomatoes, he said, we had to put stakes there, he said, to hold it up, he said, because the tomatoes were getting so heavy on it, he said, it was bending it over, and this one was growing. The other one died way, way, way back. Jesus told the same kind of story. He said, some people receive it gladly and grow really quick with it, get all excited about it. But the minute a bit of a problem comes, because they've got no root, they shrivel up and die. You understand? And this is what happens to a lot of us sometimes when we hear God's word. A pastor can preach. You can listen to it on television or whatever. You hear somebody preaching the word of God, and you take it and say, man, that's good. I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to live by that. I'm going to put that into practice in my life. And you'll grow by that. And as you grow in that, God will give you more to grow with. But if you just take it and say, you know, and the Bible talks about the cares of life come in. You know, the sun, Jesus talked about the sun rose up, and he said, you know, the cares of life come in, thorns come in and choke it out, and different things. There's different ones for each of those four different soils. But as they hear the word, immediately Satan comes to take it away, and, you know, it takes no root in their system, in their lives, and therefore it means nothing to them. This is why you can come into the church, and some people come in, and they say, man, this is not over yet. How much longer is he going to preach? You know? Now, I can be honest with you, even as a child, now I'm not saying this to try to make myself sound good or anything, but even as a child, when it came to the preaching of God's word, maybe because God was directing me into ministry, probably, I don't know, but the other part of the service, I mean, I enjoyed it and all these different things. I used to play the guitar and, you know, things like that in the worship in our home church. I loved that, but when they start preaching, that don't talk to me, don't interfere with me at all. That's to me, that was the most important part, and I still feel that way today. I still wanted that because I wanted to hear something. I wanted to know what God was saying. Somebody said to a fellow, Ebenezer Blackwell, his name was, and he was a good friend of John and Charles Wesley back in the, you know, days of Wesley. And somebody asked him one night, he said, are you going to see Mr. Wesley tonight? Are you going to hear him preach? He said, no. He said, I'm going. He said, but I'm going to hear God. I'm not going to hear Mr. Wesley. He said, I'm going to hear God. He said, whoever preaches, he said, I hear from God. And if we come with that attitude to church, then we'll come and we'll go away refreshed. But if you come and say, well, you know, I just got to go through this because it's what you do on Sunday, you'll go home and you'll, you know, church is always going to be boring to you. It's always going to be difficult for you. See, it's not because of the word that's going out. It's because of the soil is in your heart. You understand that? Is a soil. Now, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. I just jotted down a few things here. Those who have no interest find the word uninteresting. Those who have no interest in what's going on find the word uninteresting. Those who desire to find fault, there's going to be plenty of places to find fault. You understand that? Those who seek solid truth will find it. Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. Those who hunger, find food. Those who bring faith, receive assurance from God. Those who come joyfully, leave joyfully. But if you come grumpy, you will leave grumpy. It's all depending on the soil. The word is the same. It's the soil, how the soil receives it. So Jesus said, be careful what you hear. John Piper, you've all heard talk of John Piper. He comes on the radio on the Christian radio station there. He cautions us to be careful of how we hear God's word. He said, if it's not softening and saving and healing and bearing fruit, it is probably hardening and blinding and dulling you. Now, you get that? Remember the Bible talks about Pharaoh. Remember back in the Old Testament, Pharaoh? Some places it says God hardened his heart. Other places it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And somebody said, well, why did God harden his heart and then judge him for it? You got to understand what's going on. The fact that God hardened his heart is because he heard the word so much that he became dull to it. He heard the warning so much, he just would not listen to it, and he hardened his heart. See, the gospel, for instance, here I am preaching this morning. I'm preaching. Some of you are receiving it, and some of you are already getting your... You remember, you ever see a cat? Sometimes you smooth the cat down like that, and you get him in the wrong way, he puts his back up. Some of you have already got your back up this morning. So I'm not listening to what he's saying anymore. You know. Now, but the thing is, as a word of... You see, if you take... I heard a fellow tell this illustration years ago, and you probably heard it before as well. If you take clay, a pound of clay, and a pound of butter, and you put it out in the sun will harden one and melt the other. You understand that? The sun was the same thing. The rays were the same thing. But it's how you receive it, what's in you. The clay... You know, because it was hard and everything else, became harder. Pharaoh's heart, even though the word came, Moses accepted God's word. Pharaoh became hard by it. Same word, Pharaoh became hard by it. So sometimes the word of God being preached can either soften your heart or harden your heart. And we've seen many people over the years, in your own families, you can tell the same thing. People that became hard, we say they're hardened to the gospel sometimes. And this is what it means. You know, so Pharaoh hardened his heart, the Bible says. And then it also says that God hardened his heart. Now, the Word of God tells in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes from having a knowledge of something. The Bible talks about God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We need to have knowledge of God's Word. I used to hear a fellow preaching years ago, Kenneth Hagin. He's dead now, gone on to be with the Lord. But he says, you can't believe beyond what you understand, what you know. You can't believe beyond knowledge. You have to know that Jesus died for your sins in order to trust him as your Savior. You have to know that he's a healer in order to trust him for your healing. You can't believe beyond your actual knowledge. So faith comes by hearing. As we hear God's word, faith is built in our hearts. Now it's up to ourselves if we want to accept that or if we want to reject it. You know, sometimes, as I said, as the word goes forth in one heart, it penetrates and remember what James said? He said, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. As we do the word, then God will give us more. Some people say, oh, I'd like to have the revelation this person got, or somebody else. Maybe you hear somebody preaching, say, man, I wish I knew the scriptures like they do. You know, I've done that lots of times. I listen to people preaching. I thought, man, you know, why am I ever preaching in the first place? You listen to somebody else, they seem, you know, like they know the scriptures so good and things like this. And you think, but you see, the thing is, once they heard something from God, they put it into practice. And as they put it into practice, God gave them more. And as he put that into practice, God gave them more. You understand that? If you're going to feed your child breakfast, and you bring out and you put down some toast on the table, and he'll look at it and says, I want some more toast. You say, eat that first. No, I want more toast. No, you got to eat that first. I mean, it's no good to put 10 slices of toast on the table, on the plate, if he's not eating the first one. You understand that? God is the very same thing with us. If we don't eat what he gives us, if we don't put it into practice what he gives us, he's not going to give us anything else. This is why Jesus said, he said, to him that hath, he said, will be taken away from him. He said, those that take it and use it, God will replenish it. But if you don't use it, he said, it'll be taken away even what you did have. You understand the principle there? So be careful what you're hearing. Be careful how you hear God's word. Now, not only God's word we have to be concerned about, we have to be concerned about other people's word in our lives. What are other people saying in our lives? You ever realize that there's plenty of advice out there? Everybody got some advice for you? Everybody got an opinion? Hi. What's that? He's going to give you some advice. But you understand, like, everybody's got advice for you. Everybody's got an opinion. Here's a newsflash. You don't have to listen to everybody's opinion. You know, we joke about it sometimes, but I still think it's a pretty good saying. You're entitled to your wrong opinion. You know? Somebody comes up and they always got these different opinions for you to do it this way, do something this way. You believe God to do something, or you're going to build something, or going to buy something. People say, well, I think you should do this, do this, do this. Now, don't misunderstand. You need to listen to some wisdom and all these different things. But Not everyone is going to cheer you on and say, yes, you're doing a good thing. Not everybody's going to build you up. There's a lot of people out there that just want to tear you down, to make you come down to their level. They see you getting ahead, they get jealous, so they try to bring you down to their level. You understand that? So not all the advice that you hear, that you got to give equal weight to it. You need to understand that there's people that, you know, are going to, instead of build you up, they're going to try to tear you down a lot of times. And you need to choose who you're going to listen to. I was reading a story one time about a motivational speaker, and he was at an event where he was teaching, and in the middle of the teaching, he called his wife up to the platform, up to the stage, and he called up two other people out of the audience. And so when his wife came up, he started to say to his wife, and he says, "You are capable." This is what he was saying to his wife, you know, talking to her. He said, "You're capable." He said, "You're intelligent. You're driven. You will succeed. You can make it." But he had two other people standing outside of him saying to his wife, while he was saying this, both of them they're all speaking at the same time. And they start saying to him, "You will never make it. It's too hard for you. You'll fail. You don't have what it takes." And she told a story after it was all over. He asked her, you know, how she felt about it. And she said, "As long as I keep my eyes upon your eyes," her husband, she said, "I felt myself getting charged up." She said, "I felt myself," she said, "skyrocketing. My faith in myself," she said, "was skyrocketing." She said, but she said, "I didn't want to be ignorant to the others." She said, "So I looked at them. And the minute I would look at their eyes and listen to what they're saying," she said, "the life just drained out of me." You see, you need to be careful who you listen to. If you're hanging around a people all the time that's going to tear you down and talk about how bad you are and how weak you are and you'll never accomplish this, and your grandfather was this way, your father was this way, your aunt and uncle was this, you know, and you'll never get beyond it. If you listen to that, it'll tear you down all the time. You need to be around people that's going to build you up. I had an uncle when I was growing up. He's dead now, got on to be with the Lord for several years. But he was a man. His name was Noah. I was telling Noah about him this morning. His name was Noah, and now he couldn't write, he couldn't read, couldn't even write his own name. He put an X down and somebody had to sign his name. But he owned two stores, and his wife basically ran them, and she never had much of education either. And anyway, then he also worked as a janitor all of his life, as a janitor. Now, they went across, they lived next door to us, the Pentecostal church was across the street from us, so I told you the story before. I couldn't, they used to have a thumb latch on the door going into the church, and I never had enough strength in my thumb to open the door, so I'd wait till they go to church, and I'd run across the road and get in as they're going into the door. But he used to always say to me, he says, "Stephen," and back in those days in Sunday school, I remember we did the Gospel of Mark. They would have a quiz on a chapter every week. And they used to have a big family Bible, and I'd go over to their house, and I'd get the Bible out and read down through it. Now, he couldn't read. His wife could read a little bit, and she'd help me in different things. And I'd go down through it, and I'd read that chapter over. You know, say you're doing chapter 4, I'd read that chapter a dozen times that week. I'd read it all the time. So I'd go to Sunday school on Sunday, and they'd ask the questions, and, you know, it was a quiz going on. And he used to always say to me, "Stephen," he said, "God's got a plan for your life." Now, he never had the education, never had much of himself. He said, "God's got a plan for your life." And he always, always, always encouraged me. Always encouraged me. Other people look at him and said, "Oh, that's, you know," and they didn't like him and things like that because he is successful and they weren't. And, you know, well, you know, he had a good break. That's what happened to him. This happened to him. You know, he just opened up the store at the right time. That's all. You know, they didn't understand God's blessing or anything like that. And people, you know, they were grumble about it and things like that. But he's the one sometimes that would encourage me as a child to read the Bible, to, you know, and he encouraged me to go over and look at the, you know, be ready for the quiz coming up on Sunday. And I would read the Bible and study it and things like this just so that I could be ready for the quiz on Sunday. You know, and sometimes there are people in your life that you need to understand that they'll help you if you listen to them, but there's other people that will tear you down. And so there's no point in you going to the quiz. I mean, they got adults there. They're going to be able to give the answers better than you can. You know, you might as well not get involved. And people will try to tear you down in that. So you got to get to the place where you listen to people that are going to build you up. Listen to people that are going to put good things into your life. So Jesus said, "What are you listening to? Take heed or be careful what you listen to." If we change our focus, I'm just scooting it through. If you change your focus, you can change your life. Remember that woman that was looking at the men that were talking? As long as she looked at her husband, she felt encouraged. The minute that she looked at the other fellows that were saying negative things to her, she said her spirit just went down. A lot of times people are living constantly around people that are tearing them down all the time. So all you messed up here in your life, you did this wrong, you did something else wrong, you'll always be like this. You'll never rise above that. You can't listen to people like that. You need to be around people that are going to build you up, that's going to encourage you. And as I said, you need to hear God's word. Listen, God's word is a positive book. God's word will build you up. And we need to understand that. And the devil will do anything in his power to get you away from the scriptures. I tell you the honest truth about it. There are times when I'm praying over the house and everybody's gone and things like that, especially, I just walk around the house praying, reading the Bible. But I guarantee you, if you forgot to do something, guaranteed to come to your mind when you start reading the Bible. Because the devil is trying to get you off this. Because the devil knows the power that's in that. This is God's word is the thing that created the universe. You understand that? The Bible says, by faith we understand that the things that we see were created by the word of God. And the devil knows the power and the authority that once you start to get this down into your heart and let it grow, it will produce things in your life. So he tries everything in his power to get you away from this. You can read any other book. You can read magazines. You can read newspapers. You can read love stories and novels and things like that. Nothing to do it. But the minute you get God's word out, everything comes against you. And it seems like the most boring book. You got to break through that. You got to push through that. Not just read books about the Bible. Read the Bible itself. You understand that? Because the devil knows this is the only book in the world that's alive and powerful and quick and can change your life, change your situations. Nothing can do it like the Word of God. And the devil knows that. And that's why he tries to tear you down. That's why the Word of God says, don't be just a hearer of the Word. Be a doer also. And as you do it, more will be added to you. But if you don't do it, even that which you had is taken away from you. And you say, I got nothing out of that. You got nothing out of it because you never put it into practice. You understand that? Understand that principle? Jesus said, be careful what you're listening to. Be careful what you're listening to. So you need to be careful who you're listening to. Mother Teresa. Not this Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa said, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. When you speak a kind word over someone, I was reading something a while ago, they said, if you meet someone, they said 20 years on the road, you might not remember their name, you might not remember sometimes what they said, but you'll always remember how they made you feel. You'll always remember how they made you feel. Build people up, encourage them. You know as well as I do, if you're going to be around people that every time you do something, they're finding fault in you. Every time you try to say something, they say, shut up. Every time you try to, they're just putting you down all the time, putting you down all the time. You're going to grow up with an attitude that I'm no good, I'm useless, I'll never accomplish anything. You got to be around people that's building you up. We need to do that for our children. Build them up and encourage them. I know there's times we get frustrated and we say something to them that we don't mean, but we need to understand, even though we didn't mean it the way that it sounded, they pick it up that way. And that got into their spirit, and that will grow on the inside of them. See, your subconscious is very powerful. When you say something, it goes into your subconsciousness. Your subconsciousness will produce whatever is being said to it. Okay, it's a very powerful thing. And whatever is put into our subconsciousness is going to grow, whether it's good or bad. See, here's the thing. It's very powerful, but I can't tell between good and bad. Whatever you put in there is going to grow. Like, for instance, if you went outside and you had a plot of land, and you went and you planted corn in one place and carrot somewhere else and cabbage somewhere else and things like this, all the ground is programmed to do is grow things. You understand that? To make things grow. And our minds and our spirits are the same thing. Whatever is put in there is going to grow, whether it's good or bad. This is why sometimes, and I hate this much as anybody, but this is why you go and plant something in the yard, you're going to have weeds coming up as well. Because the ground is just programmed to produce. You know, and if you allow the weeds to grow up, you know as well as I do, it chokes out the life out of the good plants. It's the very same thing in our lives as we're serving God. If you know, we can get God's word, good food coming in, but if you allowed other things to come in, that's going to choke out the word of God. That's like the weeds. Jesus talked about the thorns that grew up and choked the word. You know, and so we need to pluck out, as we do in the natural realm, pluck out the weeds. We need to start plucking out things out of our lives that's choking out the word of God. Things that are stopping us from getting into God's house. Things that are stopping us from reading the word of God. Things that are stopping us taking time from us that we could be spending with God. Now, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on us here. Oh, you got to be in the Bible 24 hours. I'm not saying that. But you should take some time every day for God. Should take time every day to hear from God. Jesus said, be careful what you're listening to. Be careful what you hear. Whatever you feed in your mind is going to produce in your life, it's going to manifest itself in your life. Sometimes, you know, people have had a lot of negative things happen in their lives. And people have said some negative things over them. And people probably hurt them somehow, abused them somehow, or said things to them that sort of tore them down in their spirits. But all these things are like seeds that get into your heart and it starts to grow. It's like planting a seed for an oak tree. You know, and the longer that seed is in the ground, you know, it's going to put its roots down, you know, and the tree is going to grow. I mean, when that tree was small, you could probably just go along and snatch it and pull it out pretty easy. But you give that tree a few years, and it's harder to uproot. A lot of us have had bad things happen in our lives, like negative things, that have been there for years, and it's hard sometimes to uproot it. This is why it's so very important to get the right word in. And you need to fill yourself in with good things that's going to choke out the bad. See, it works either way. You got to choke out the bad. You got to get that bad seed uprooted and fill yourself with good things that are going to build you up and encourage you. And sometimes you look at people and, you know, you say, well, you know, the reason that happens is because so-and-so said something to me or did something to me or whatever the case might be. I told you a few weeks ago, It might not have been your fault that something happened to you. You could have been a little baby. You could have been a little child that somebody did something to. It might not be your fault that something happened to. But it's your fault if you continue to live like it. If you continue to let it control you, that's your fault. See, nobody can stop you from the plan that God is for you unless you let them. You understand that? Eleanor Roosevelt, I was reading an article a week, and she said, no one can make you feel inferior unless you give them permission to do so. You understand that? Nobody can make you feel little. In other words, nobody can put you down unless you give them permission to do it. You've got to rise above what people have been saying about you, people trying to discourage you, and rise above these things. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Like any addiction, negative thinking gathers momentum as time goes on. Somebody asked a teacher one time, they said, can we feed our mind junk food from time to time? Now, I'll let you make up your own mind what junk food is. Okay? Can we feed our mind junk food from time to time? And the teacher sat back for a while. He said, well, he said, I tell you what comes to my mind. He said, you could find, he said, a little bit of good, he said, a trashy novel. He said, but I wouldn't go there to look for it. He said, to me, he said, it's about the same thing. He said, you can find a piece of good bread probably in a garbage dump somewhere. But why go to the garbage trying to find a piece of bread? I remember years ago, we used to read Western books, country and Western, you know, Western stories. Looking back at it now, I can see how stupid it was, but anyway, maybe you're into it, I don't know. But I used to read Western books. Used to love them. Louis Moore and all them fellows. I used to read it, and there used to be all kinds of curse words in there. Swearing. And myself and another buddy of mine, he married my cousin, and both of us, you know, we'd change books back and forth. You know, I'd read it and I'd pass it to him, and he'd read it and pass it to me or whatever. You know, we're just exchanging books and different things. And Pat and this guy's wife just took up a book one day, and they said, "What are you reading anyway?" "Nothing, you know, just Western story." And she opened up to a page and was swearing on her. She said, "How can you read that?" She said, "You know, not be affected by it." I said, "Oh, I don't even see them words, just skip over them." Now, how many have done that? It's like looking at a TV program sometimes. Every two or three words, you got to beep out. You know? Don't fill your mind with trash. So after she said that, I started thinking, and this is the honest truth, I started thinking, you know, that's right. Even though I'm, in my mind, I'm skipping over the word Jesus, because, you know, it's a swear word in the book. But in my mind, I'm still programming my subconscious to react that way. You know, if I'm not careful. Now, I gave it up. Summer holidays, we were over to Picton. And so we were just sitting around one night, and we said, let's do something different night. So we decided we're going to go to a drive-in movie over in Picton there. So I said, well, let's find out what's on there. So we went on the internet, and we found a little bit of information there. And so I went up to the thing there, and we got there in the afternoon. You know, the movie wasn't until dark, obviously. And I got there in the afternoon, so I said to the girl, I said, what's playing? And she said, well, she said, and she named two or three movies, and I said, what's about? And she said, told me, and I said, no, I don't want that. And she said, well, we got one. She said, you'll enjoy this one. She said, it's just a comedy. I said, okay, that's what I wanted, you know, something just a bit of, you know. And I could give you the name of the movie, but I won't, because you probably wouldn't rent it. And so anyway, I said, well, I said, okay, maybe we'll take that one in. So we went, and unbeknown to me, when they got there, you pay for the, you know, movie that night, and when you go in, they got two showings. The movie we wanted to look at was the second one. And so I said, well, maybe we'll come back. She said, you won't be able to get in then. She said, everybody comes in, she said, and gets their part and place and park and all these different things. So I said, okay. I said, what's the first one about? And she said, well, she's just partly comedy too. She said, and was talking about, you know, it was a policeman, and one policeman was very strict and the other one was a bit laxy lazy and stuff like that. And I thought, well, that'd be a good laugh, you know. And I'm honest with you, whatever time it came on, you know, it got dark, and they turned on the screens. Now, I mean, there's little children there, 6 and 7 years old, a crowd of them all around, you know. A lot of parents came, and they had little picnic tables put out, and they had little chairs put out there, and this is a family night, and I thought, this is wonderful. And it came on the screen, and I'm not exaggerating, in the first 5 minutes, there was a woman on there, she was a woman cop, and she cursed and swore, and Jesus this, and Jesus that, and something else, and you know, she going on, if this, if that. And I thought, man, little children all around here. You know, and I said, Pat, I said, I'm not staying here to film myself with this. So we drove. I turned on my lights. Everybody else had their lights off. I'd turn off lights and drive around through all the crowd and everything else. I didn't care. I was so frustrated with it. But I'm not going to fill myself up with that garbage. You know, we need to, as Christians, now, you know, not kick up a fuss and get mad at everybody and stuff like that and make a scene that way. But I think we should have enough sense to say, listen, I'm not filling myself with that anymore. My life is too valuable in God's sight and in my sight. My life is too valuable to fill up with garbage. You understand that? Now you say, Pastor, I'd do the same thing. Well, that's good. But would you do it at home if the TV is on and something comes on or shouldn't be on there? People say sometimes, oh, there's nothing wrong with that movie. Nothing wrong with that. You walk in, listen to it in the first 5 minutes. You're swearing and cursing and scenes that you shouldn't be looking at. Be careful what you're putting in there, because what you put in grows. Your subconscious can't, you know, stop growing one thing and not, because whatever's fit in there, in that ground, the ground is going to produce. You understand that? So Jesus said, be careful what you're hearing. Be careful what you're hearing. Don't feed your mind junk food. Here's a few thoughts as we finish up. Feed your mind with good things. If you're around somebody that's annoying, that's doing things that you know is not right, saying negative things, being negative and everything else, politely ask them to stop. You know as well as I do how good that's going to go over. 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, it's better for you to just get up and quietly leave. Don't be around it. Don't allow yourself to be filled with garbage like that. Here's another thought. Don't blame your negative moods and your thoughts on other people. You got a choice to make. Other people might be involved in it, but it's your choice. You understand? Let go of negative thoughts. Get proper rest and exercise. Take some time every day to listen to God. Take some time every day to listen to God. Listen to God could be reading His Word. That's how God's going to speak to you most of the time. Read His Word. A lot of times we won't read God's Word because we know He's going to speak to us. Sometimes it's just to be quiet. I read something the other day. Somebody said the word listen and the word silent got the same letters. A lot to that. The word listen and the word silent uses the same letters. Sometimes you just got to get quiet. Listen, I'm not asking you to take an hour a day. Sometimes just take 5 minutes a day is a good start. Just close everything else out and say, listen, I'm not reading a book. I'm not going to turn on the TV. I'm not going to turn on the computer. I'm not going to listen to Facebook or look at Facebook. I'm just going to, this is just between me and God. And quiet yourself down. And while you're quiet now, don't be thinking about everything else. Just say, Lord, I need your direction in my life. Just spend some time in His presence. Take some time every day to listen to God. Feed your mind with positive words, positive thoughts, and positive people. Feed yourself with positive people. Stay around people. Don't stay around people that's going to be tearing you down all the time. Nobody wants to be around negative people. At least I don't. Everybody wants to be around somebody who's going to encourage them. Here's another good one. Listen to some good, wholesome music. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, a lot of us, we like the Gaithers. I'm not talking about just put on the Gaithers. There's a lot of wholesome music out there that the younger group, the Gaithers, is not wholesome to them. I mean, it's wholesome probably, but not their type of thing. Not their cup of tea. That's fine. But make sure what we're putting into our spirits are good things. I mean, some of the newer courses, newer hymns coming out now, we sing some of them here, beautiful words to it. Fill yourself with those words. You know, every morning as you get up, say, I am created by God for a purpose. God's got a plan and a purpose for my life. Be careful who you listen to. I just finished off with this. I've got three little, short little things here. All the same situation, but a young woman named Lucy. She loved children, loved teaching, and she decided she's going to go to university and become a teacher. And in the day when she went, you had to go 2 years. And she was so excited about it and took so many courses, she finished it in 1 year. She was all excited about going in, you know. And there was a minister. They had one church in the town. He was a Presbyterian church. And she had one minister that came in. He was unmarried. So she fell in love with him. They eventually ended up getting married. And she wrote a little book and for children and sent it away to a publisher to see if she could get it published. And the publisher sent it back with a note that there's no imagination in this. There's no purpose to it. It'll never sell. We're not interested. So she was on deterrent. She figured I'd try it again. So she sent it off to another publisher. And basically the same thing. The publisher sent back and said, this would never sell to, you know, children don't want to read this stuff. They want something different. And, you know, she sent it in all to 5 different publishers and 5 of them turned her down. So she was a bit discouraged. She took it. They said, she put it in an old hat box and stuffed it under the bed. 2 years later, she thought, I'm going to try that again. She said, they were all wrong. She said, I know this is a good story. So she sent it off to another company. And they decided to give it a try and published it. This is Lucy Maud Montgomery, Anne of Green Gables. It sold over 50 million copies. They said since 1908, it's been played constantly around the world somewhere in musicals and different things, and still bringing it. We're a couple of times that we've gone to PEI and been there and things like that. I haven't, you know, you fellows went, I think, 1 year. And it was just, even today, is still bringing in money, long after she's dead and gone. Actually, it was her birthday yesterday. I was reading some information about her this week. You know, so sometimes you got to just turn your back on what people are saying sometimes, the naysayers. Here's another little story. I like these kind of stories. A young fellow named Teddy, Theodore. There's Teddy back there. Man, we got Mother Teresa here today. And Theodore loved to draw. He was just a young fellow. And he figured when he's in school, he's always doodling, always drawing little cartoons and different things and stuff like that. So when he got out of school, he went to take an art class, you know, like a training for being an artist. And after the first day, they had certain things, you know, the teacher told him to draw something from their imagination. So he drew something. And as the teacher went around, he took his thing, and next day he got their marks back, and the teacher mark failed on it. He said, "You got no imagination." He said, "This is just children's play." He said, "What you're writing here," he said, there's no purpose to it. There's no reason to it." And he said, I got a quote here. He said, "It's too different from other juveniles on the market to warrant its selling. It'll never sell." He was turned down over and over and over. He left school, left the art class, went out anyway and started drawing. Turned down over and over and over. And I think it was 29 different times he sent out, you know, to the publishers trying to get something published, and they all wrote back and says, is nothing to it. It's not worth it. The last time he changed his name, here you go, Teddy. He called himself Dr. Zeus. Zeus, whatever it is. They decided to print it, sold 300 million copies. And they said, even today, he sold more children's books than anyone else in history. Dr. Seuss. Cat in the Hat. The Grinch Just Stole Christmas. And all these different things. So sometimes you just got to turn your back when people say you can't do it. It'll never be done. Don't listen to that. This boy Jesus, be careful who you're listening to. Be careful what you're listening to. How you listen. How you hear. One more. After many years of rejection, they said it did not break his spirit. He only became more determined to succeed. When he eventually landed a publishing deal, there was such a demand for his fiction that it was translated into over 47 languages. And The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis goes on to sell over 100 million copies after being turned down time after time after years of rejection. So just because somebody said to you, you would never be anything, you would always end up, you know, poor, your father was poor, your grandfather was poor, never ever amounted to anything, you got to turn your back on that kind of stuff. Jesus said, be careful what you're listening to. Be careful what you're listening to. God's got a plan and a purpose for every one of us here today. And I know we keep saying this, but God really does have a plan and a purpose. And God's plans are good plans. God doesn't have one bad plan for anyone here today. Some people say, oh yeah, I know you got a good plan for your life, but not for mine. No, that's not true. God's got a good plan for every one of us. Every one of us, God's got no bad plans. Like you got no bad plans for your children, neither does God have bad plans for his children. God's got good plans. God said, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. Plans to prosper you, to give you a life, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. God wants us to have a good future. So even though you've had some negative things put in, and sometimes it feels like an oak tree that's growing there. Years ago, my father-in-law used to have a little saying on his fridge. Actually, I think it was there, actually, when we went down for the funeral there back in March. He used to have a little thing up on the fridge. He says, I'm not deaf, I'm ignoring you. A lot of times you've got to be that way. I tell you this story. I just thought of it now as I said this. I was going to tell, I had this story put up front in the message, but I forgot it until now. Some frogs were going along, jumping through the forest and hopping all over the place. And all of a sudden, two of them fell into a deep hole. And all the other frogs came along and looked down. And the frogs in there were going crazy, going frantic, trying to get back out of the hole. And they said the walls were sloped in such a way they couldn't get up. And eventually, after they were looking at them for a while, they said, "Boys," they said, "you might as well just give up." This is the frogs up on the ground. They're looking down the hole. They said, "You might as well give up." They said, "You'll never make it. It's too high." And they kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And they said, "It's too hard. You can't do it. You can't get grip. You can't land anywhere to get back out." They said, "You might as well quit." Eventually, one of them did quit. Eventually, just died in the hole. But the other fellow kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And they're up there shouting, "Says you can't do it. You can't do it." But he did do it. So when they got up, they said, "Didn't you hear us talking to you?" He never listened to a thing they were saying. Come to find out, he was deaf. And when they finally got through to him what was going on, he says, "I thought you were cheering me on." He said, "I was jumping." I said, you need to react sometimes when people are saying negative things about you. Just say, "Listen, that's just God cheering me on." He says, "Listen, you can do it. You can do it." Block out the naysayers. You might be deaf too. Just block them out anyway. Praise God.